has complained of hearing loss, headaches, nausea, and other symptoms beginning in late 2016. The network is quoting an unidentified source as saying an investigation is underway about the sonic attacks. Because of the attacks, some of the diplomats have ended their time in Cuba. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Sentencing coming today for a California man who has killed his son. Here's Jason Campidonia.
Aramaz Dundresian Sr. is expected to be sentenced to 25 years to life in prison when he sets foot in a Los Angeles area courtroom later today. His son's body was found near Santa Barbara shortly after he was arrested in Las Vegas nearly 2 months after the boy had gone missing. Prosecutors believe that Dundresian killed his young son to get back at his ex-wife while in the middle of a contentious custody battle. I'm Jason Campidonia.
As part of his rally last night in Phoenix, President Trump called out the media for deliberately misrepresenting his statements on Charlottesville.
At a rally in Phoenix last night, President Trump told supporters the media is misrepresenting his words. He read portions of his statement in which he condemned the forces of bigotry and hatred.
A wound inflicted upon one member of our community is a wound inflicted upon us all.
The statement was criticized after he delivered it the first time because it didn't address white supremacist groups, and he blamed many sides for the violence in the city.
NASA is testing a spacecraft that could take humans one day to Mars. A spokesman for Lockheed Martin says the Orion spacecraft was fired up for the first time Tuesday morning, and everything seems to be working well. The spokesman told CNN that over the next couple of months, NASA will add more computer systems to the spacecraft to continue testing it. NASA's been working on the Orion program since 2011. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, good afternoon, folks. You know what that music is? That's the music of modern design. We are live in studio on this beautiful summer day, getting towards the tail end of summer, and I'm very excited to have somebody who's been in my life for a very long time as my guest today, and her name is Jeannie Johnson. Good afternoon, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi. You know, it's funny, when we were doing the show, we said, don't Jester, just talk, and what does she do? She waves at the audience. All right, we'll get it down. Anyway, we're going to take a look at the weather, and then we're going to talk about our topic today, which happens to be kids' rooms. If you follow me on social media, and you go to The Color Guru, you'll see that what I posted, The Color Guru, at blogspot.com. So let's take a look at today's weather. It says there's fair skies at 79 degrees. Feels a little bit warmer to me. This afternoon, it's going to be sunny with a high of 81 degrees. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear with a low of 56. On Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny again with a high of 80 degrees. On Thursday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low of 55. On Friday, there's a slight chance of showers, about 20%, with a high of 77 degrees. On Friday night, there's a slight chance of showers, then mostly clear with a low of 52. On Saturday, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day with a high of 76 degrees. Saturday night with a low of 54 and clear. And then finally on Sunday, wow, three nice days on the weekend. We're going to have a beautiful sunny Sunday with a high of 77 degrees. Well, my name is Richard Scuderi, and our program is called Modern Design. We meet here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 in our little clubhouse in downtown Flemington. And our topic today happens to be kids' rooms and things you can do with kids' rooms. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I wasn't really allowed to do what I wanted in my room. But I see today that many people hire me to decorate their kids' rooms. So things have very much changed. Jeannie, good afternoon. When you were growing up, were you allowed to have a say in how your room was going to be decorated?
A little bit.
Okay.
The color.
Uh-huh.
And I put up some posters.
Okay. Now, were your posters framed or not framed?
Oh, no, not framed. It was just
did you glue them or did you tape them to the wall?
Thumbtack.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Growing up, when we my parents built a house, and I had no say. So I guess I was five. So I remember my walls were Bermuda blue because blue then was a boy's color. So I had Bermuda blue walls. I had sculptured royal blue to match the Bermuda blue wall-to-wall carpet. And I had like very like colonial twin bed and bed set. And I had like ship curtains. And that's like the origin of my room when I was five. Did you have any themes in your room when you were like that age?
It was pink.
Very much. And you wanted pink, right?
I did.
You were a true pink girl, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the time.
And any sort of themes in the beginning or not really?
No, because when I was, especially when I was young, my brother and I had a shared room.
Uh-huh.
So we had to, you know, work with each other.
Right? Yeah, no, that's hard when you do that. We did a show on dorm rooms and like decorating for each side, and you really have to work together to make something to be a look. So Gene and I worked last night on a list that we're going to go through today of things that you can do, inspirations for ideas of kids' rooms, and a lot of interesting and new ideas out there. So I want to start with that. But before we get started, I'm going to take a commercial announcement to pay for our show. And we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on WHCR-DB. Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I have a new local store here. I've been in Flemington for the last 3 years, but just moved my store the past couple of weeks to my new location right outside of Flemington. And the new address for Maven Hill Designs in this general area is 176 Route 202 31 North in Rignose, New Jersey. I'm right across from the Motor Vehicle Inspection Station. And next to Fred Bean's Toyota, and lots of wonderful things. Big space, 6,000 square foot. I share the space with Bruce, who owns Flemington Fan and Lighting, who's been a frequent guest on Modern Design. Lots to look at, beautiful pieces of furniture, accessories, and of course, lots and lots of lighting and fans. My guest today happens to be Jeannie Johnson, and we're talking about kids' rooms. And because Jeannie is a mom, we decided we'd get an actual kid with us on the line. And I think we have on the line Lily, who is Jeannie's daughter, who is 8 years old. So I want to see if we can get her on the line and see if she agrees with some of the things that Jeannie and I came up collectively, because we haven't been kids for quite a long time now. Lily, are you on the line?
Lily, are you there?
Are you there? Okay. Let's see if you can turn that up a little bit. Okay, great. So the first thing on our list of our 20 points on kids' rooms ideas is color in general. And I was saying to Jeannie that in my 20 years of experience, I've come to realize that these days if I ask a boy what color he's going to pick, he always picks the color green, which is surprising to me because I had a blue room growing up. And when I ask a girl what color she's going to like, most often the time they will pick either blue or purple or somewhere in between, like a periwinkle color. So, Lily, what is your favorite color for your room? What color would you like your room to be?
Purple.
Tell me why purple.
What?
Why do you like purple?
I can't hear you.
He wants to know why you like the color purple.
Oh, because reminds me of lavender, and I like lavender because I like the color.
It's a pretty soft color, lavender, right? It's a soft color. It reminds you of flowers?
Yeah,
very much so. So boys seem to go for the greens consistently. In fact, I did two rooms for boys. One we did looked like military fatigues, and we did greens and grays, and that was really nice. Another room we did sports colors with greens. So greens seem to be popular for boys' rooms in general, and girls seem to like blue and purple. The next thing I want to talk about is color combinations, because there's so many new and interesting color combinations for rooms for kids. And I know, Gina, you came up with some combinations that you like or combinations that you thought were good for kids' rooms. What are some of your favorite colors for kids' rooms?
Well, I'm very partial to teal myself,
okay,
personally.
Right.
And pastel is really good.
Right.
When we originally used Lily's room,
sure,
she wanted a darker color.
Okay.
And it was like a very dark teal.
Right.
Now that she's older, she wants the lavender.
Lavender, right.
But,
so when you did the teal, did you do the teal on all the walls or just one wall?
Unfortunately, I did them on all the walls. Had I realized how dark it was going to be, mm-hmm, I think I would have just maybe done like a one wall of it
because it's a lot of
lighter, yeah,
because it's a lot of saturated,
yes,
color.
Definitely.
That's often a theme in rooms when they paint. There's one saturated color and then three walls of a lighter version of the color, which is a good way,
right,
to go. A lot of combinations that I've been doing lately have, of course, gray in them because gray is such a popular color. There's a new trend that's coming out that I really like. Do you remember from the 80s, Jeannie, there was that really sort of blushy, dusty pink? It was more like a fleshy kind of a pink.
Yeah.
Not,
yes.
So that's coming back. In fact, if you look at the Williams-Sonoma Home catalog and some of the other companies that do furniture, I'm starting to see a return to that sort of vintage blush pink in conjunction with gray. And that's a really nice sort of retro look for girls' room, that sort of fleshy. They call it blush. And I've seen it a lot at Williams-Sonoma Home. I've seen it at Pottery Barn. I'm seeing it show up in a lot of different areas, Crate and Barrel, in sort of a blush tone with gray, vintage and a nice look. Of course, teal is very popular right now. All shades of teal mixed with gray are nice. Teal and brown I had been doing for years, and I like chocolate brown and teal together. I think it's kind of a nice color combination. Green, of course, is always popular, greens and grays. A lot of citrus green I've been doing with gray. A lot of citrus green and brown I'm still doing. Earth colors, lots of wood are very in. Very popular combination. Navy blue for boys, especially navy blue popped with another color. Navy blue with yellow. One of my favorite kids' rooms I did was I did navy blue and orange. And I love that combination. We're doing I'm working in Springfield. There's three boys, and the mother said, each one you can have your room a color. And all of them came out nice. But the one that I'm working on now is the blue and orange. And we painted the walls because the room wasn't that big. We created a chair rail. And below the chair rail, we put white wainscoting. But above the chair rail, we did the dark navy blue. And in this case, we used Benjamin Moore's Newburyport blue, which is sort of a mid-tone navy, all around the walls with white trim and white ceilings. And now we're doing the window treatments, and it's an orange fabric with blue in it and an orange rug. And the combination of those two things is really sharp. It's kind of a cool combination. I also like, for green in a boy's room, I've done a color called Benjamin Moore's Dill Pickle. And that's kind of a fun mid-tone green to do in a space. So, you know, colors can vary. A lot of times if I'm doing nurseries, I'm doing yellow. Yellow and gray is a popular combination because it's gender neutral. There is a trend to do all neutrals in nurseries. I like to introduce color into nurseries. I think it's important. I think it's stimulating and so on. Any other color combinations that you like for rooms, Jeannie?
I'm actually, believe it or not, partial to lavender as well.
Right.
But lavender with like a gray.
Right.
Or,
you know, I find lavender a sort of an enigma, because when you go to look at paint colors, there's sort of definite, you know, this is what blue is, this is what green is. But the whole lavender thing runs the spectrum. Lavender can be very blue, and it can be very pink. And finding the right lavender is hard. Now, this is ironic, and you're going to think I'm making this up, but one of the best lavenders I ever did was for a grown-up, and she said, I really want sort of a soft, like, kiddish color for my room. She says, I want a lavender, but I want the lavender to have some pink in it. And the color we did is called Benjamin Moore's Lily Lavender. And if you go to Lily Lavender on the Benjamin Moore chart, you'll see sort of a happy combination between pink and lavender, and really looked nice with all white painted furniture. It was a really beautiful room that we did. So I'm going to move on to our third point, and that is floors and rugs. So in Lily's room, what does she have on the floor?
I didn't care for the rug. It was like a dark navy blue.
So it's wall-to-wall carpeting?
Right. So what we basically did was we used a very tight flat rug.
Okay.
With a Disney theme to it.
Yeah, but the blue is good because the blue can, in that case, can kind of represent water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you go with a teal and then a darker blue, that kind of has that mermaid sort of type of theme, actually. Do you think that in a perfect world you wouldn't do wall-to-wall carpeting in a kid's room because of allergies and so on?
Yes.
Because a lot of people are these days are saying to me, it used to be when I started my career that the first floor they wanted to be hardwood floors, but the second floor they wanted wall-to-wall carpeting in the bedrooms because of warmth. They felt that when you got up in the morning in the winter months that it's nice to put your foot on carpeting. But as I've matured in this business, people have transcended to say, no, I wanted to pull all the wall-to-wall carpeting out on the second floor. I want to match the downstairs hardwood and then just do area rugs instead. Do you feel that that's probably a healthier way to go?
Yeah, it's more convenient for cleaning and whatnot. My daughter has a section where she does her crafts,
right.
So it doesn't, you know, we're covering it with like a giant kind of tarp, so it doesn't ruin the carpet. So it's better when you just have that space.
And also, if you're on a carpet, it's not always level. So if you're putting down an easel or a chalkboard, if you're on a flat space like a wood floor or even a laminate floor, it's an easier space, I think, probably to put things down on. So I kind of prefer that. One of the things that we did, which I thought was kind of funny in a kid's room, is we decided to paint the floor. Now, and I talk about this in modern design all the time. I had, this was an old house and the floor wasn't in great shape and there wasn't a budget to replace the flooring. So I said, why don't we paint it? So even in my own house, in my foyer, I have a painted foyer floor, which was a checkerboard. So I said, you know what, maybe we'll do a checkerboard here, but we'll make it sort of kiddish. So we first sanded the floor down very well and gave it a fine sand. Then after it was sanded, we took a roller and we did a white paint as the base. And then we sort of made our own checkerboard design. It wasn't the crisscross, but a checkerboard design on the floor doing the colors. In her case, we did sort of a coral color and white, and it really set the pace for the room. So the floor was coral and white. We did all white furniture, and then we brought the teal color in with the coral, and the coral and the teal were very girly and really had a nice sort of a summery kind of look and made the space. And I think if it just had been a regular hardwood floor, it wouldn't have carried the look as much. It needed to really have that combination of the painted wood floor, which kind of gives you like a shabby chic look, and then the pairing it with a lot of color. You wouldn't paint your floor, would you?
No.
Why? You feel like it's dangerous?
A lot of reasons. I just don't like the idea of a painted floor.
Really?
I would rather just keep it totally bare, like natural looking.
Okay.
Or put down different area rugs.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has a couple of rugs that, like, one is a big heart shape.
So you have area rugs over the wall-to-wall carpet?
Yes, to break it up.
Right. Oh, that's a good way. Is it a big room?
It's a fairly decent size. I wouldn't say it's like a medium-sized space. I don't know the actual dimensions of it.
Okay, well, we're about to go to our first set of commercials, and we'll be back with more of Modern Design after these commercial messages. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambies, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon, or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton, Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I've been an interior designer, contractor, and home stager for the past 20 years. If you want to get some pair of fresh eyes, we have a promotion now. For $199, we'll come out to your house and give you some general design ideas and a focus to start on. So to contact Maven Hill Designs at any time, my phone number is 908-884-0770. 908-884-0770. I have with me live in studio today, Jeannie Johnson, a dear friend for a long time. And also, I think still on the line, we have Lily. Unless Lily said, oh, I've given up on this. Lily, are you still with us?
Still there, Lil? Lil, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
A lot of noise going on there, Lily. I don't know what's going on. So today's topic happens to be kids' rooms. And we were talking about floors and about doing hardwood floors as opposed to wall carpeting, and also the use of area rugs. There is a company I like called Dash and Albert, who I use for rugs, and they have very nice rugs. I don't know if you're familiar with that company, Jeannie. They do really interesting rugs, both as stair runners and rugs for a space. I will say I'm seeing two drastically different combinations. I'm doing a girl's room in Maplewood right now, and she very much wants a shag rug. So for her, that's sort of a girly thing, and we're doing sort of that that blush pink, sort of fleshy pink, very girly, all-white furniture, and very little color, but a little bit of the plush pink rug in shag. But the other side is doing a very, very low-pile, matte, natural, like sisal-type rugs, and done in unusual colors like teals and blues and grays. So I'm seeing that as well. Also, the continued trend of doing geometric as a pattern in rugs is very, very popular, particularly in the gray tones. So I want to move on to our next topic on kids' rooms, and that is murals. Now, murals come in a lot of different things, and I want to talk about the different types. But most people, when they think of murals, they think of painting. Have you ever done a mural, been at a house where there was a mural done?
We don't have any, but yes, I have seen them before.
What do you think about doing a mural in a kid's room?
I'm not in favor of it, personally, because I feel it could be a bit pricey, mm-hmm. and your children, you know, everyone as a kid knows your kid changes their mind.
All the time.
Yeah, so, you know, and then to paint over it, it would have to be something that you could see them
growing up with.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, the most common form of murals tend to be paint, and earlier on in my career, a lot of times people were asking me for murals for kids' room themes, and I did so many of them. Often for boys, it was sports themes. In fact, I did a Yankees room with the Yankee stripes with the official colors, and that was really great, and we did some murals with that. So murals with painting, with artwork, using my decorative artists were very, very popular in the early years, but of course, you're right, they're quite expensive, and then when comes time for maturity, then they have to be covered over. There are other things that people are doing now that are interesting, and one of them I want to talk about, I don't think many people know about, and that is I work with two wallpaper companies. One of them is Seabrook, that I use all the time, and Patty Dewey had been a guest on our program many times. You can make a mural out of a picture using wallpaper, and it's not as expensive as you think. In fact, I just did it for a woman up in South Orange, New Jersey. Her daughter loved the beach, so during the summer they rent a beach house. And they took a lot of photos. They found the most quintessential beachy type photo from where they would stay. And then they gave me the artwork. It has to be a specific size and the right number of pixels and so on. And there's a setup fee. But then I could take it to my wallpaper purveyor, Seabrook, and they put it on their computers and they blow it up to get an image that will work within the framework of your wall. Now, there's a lot of parameters involved in this because you don't want it to be too pixelated. You want a solid image. It takes a couple of weeks, but they can generate a mural from a picture and then can do that on one wall. Isn't that cool?
I've actually seen that, not with baby photos they do.
Okay.
I've seen it done.
Have you seen it though done as wallpaper using a picture?
No, that I haven't.
And in fact, in this case, it was only two seams. It was a very large wall, and now they have this beach seam. So they did it on her bed wall, and then she would wake up in the morning and take a look at the beach. So there's something that's creative, not using paint, actually using a picture that you have and turning it into a mural. So I think that's kind of interesting. I've also done in an old house, a turn-of-the-century house in Plainfield, New Jersey. The house had originally had a mural above the chair rail, which was very popular in those days. So we had to cover over it and then sheetrock from plaster, and we recreated that. And that was a fun thing to do, and that was done with paint. Very costly, but quite beautiful as well. Kids' rooms are often where I will be asked to do murals. And the most popular theme, believe it or not, is elephants. The one I did recently, a woman was having a baby. Although she knew she was having a girl, she wanted to do it in gray and yellow. And she wanted me to come up with some artwork where there would be a mother elephant, which would be bigger, obviously, and a smaller baby elephant, and their trunks would touch. And that's what we came up with. We drew it out on the walls. My decorative artist did it. We did a pale gray, and then the elephants were sort of dark gray. And then I put a branch on the ground that had like yellow in it, and then did all the furniture in white, and it was all yellow bedding and a yellow nursing chair. And I remember in particular that was one of the rooms that I thought, that was right here in Flemington, that came out really nice, and it was a nice combination. It was just the two elephants, so it wasn't a lot. But made a big difference in the room. Number five on our list kind of ties into that, and that's sort of a cheat on murals, and that's using stickers. And I will have to say, stickers were always around, they were always popular. But I think stickers have gotten a lot more sophisticated. The early stickers were very shiny, and they looked like they would go on and off in a day. The stickers I'm finding in arts and craft stores now are matte finished. They look almost like you have to sort of put your hands on the wall to see that they're an actual sticker, and people are leaving them up for years. They have better staying power. They have bigger sizes, and you can do a lot with stickers. So I know stickers is something that you have a lot of familiarity with. Tell us about what stickers you've done or like or have seen out. Where would you go to buy stickers for your walls?
Honestly, I've seen them online at different sites, mm-hmm. and that's where I first found them. And she tended to like more of the princess ones.
Okay.
Now that she's a little older, it's more fairies and
right.
mermaids and unicorns.
So the good thing about stickers is typically they're not that expensive. So when you change, if you started out with mermaids and you say, no, I want unicorns and rainbows, it's easy to take those down and then to sort of recreate a look. So if you have a base color like a lavender or a blue or a color that works within that range, that you can change out the stickers and create a new look. There are stickers out there, and I'm not talking about sort of just base stickers, but if you go to a Pearl Paint, or you go to Michael's, or you go to AC Moore, or one of the larger craft stores, where you can get stickers that are big pieces that you can put up on the wall, like a big unicorn or one piece. And they're, sometimes they're, you know, over $100. They're not necessarily inexpensive, but the quality is wonderful, and if they're done right, can last a very long time. So stickers are a nice option. Have you ever done stickers on the ceiling?
No.
I went through a period of time that stars were very popular, and also the stars that light up at night, especially for babies' rooms. So I was getting these at the time, and I haven't done it in a long time, these stars that would glow at night. So when you turn the lights off, there would be stars on the ceiling, and particularly in babies' rooms and young kids' rooms, that was of a comfort level to them. Did you ever try that?
I actually have them currently now in Lily's room, and uh-huh. I try to do like the constellation,
right.
Constellations,
right.
And so at night when she looks up, she can look at the stars.
So you're only seeing, it's only being illuminated when the lights are off.
Yeah, they glow in the dark,
right.
During the day, you know, exposing to light, and when the lights out, they glow.
Yeah, so it's great, and I think it's a comfort level. I don't know, was it a comfort level to her, because so many kids have that transition period where they are afraid of the dark, but if you have the starlights, I think it's sort of relaxing.
Oh, she loves it. She's like, oh, it's going.
Right, and it's transcended. How old was she when you put the lights in?
Like 4 or 5.
Yeah, and still it's transitioned, so she's 8 years old now.
She still comments on that.
Lily, how do you feel about the stars on your ceiling? Do you still like your stars?
You still like the stars on the ceiling, Lil?
Yeah.
You can still see them at night, right? When you turn out the light?
Yeah.
So when you do stickers, when you work with stickers for a constellation, are they individual pieces that you have to put up each star,
yes,
and create that, or they're not like a kit? So you have a lot of stars on your ceiling.
Yeah, and they're different sizes, so you can use, you know.
So do stars like that look like a star, like what we think of as a star, like the 5 points?
Yeah,
or
they
look
just
like that?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not like true stars that you look in the sky and it's sort of like that.
No.
That twinkly looking thing.
And to be truthful, when I bought them, I think I bought them at like one of those kids' science stores.
Sure.
You know, and they had different ones. And so, you know, I always liked it for myself even.
I think it's kind of whimsical and it's kind of nice.
Right.
I did a theater room once in Warren in a basement. And after we did everything dark. We painted the walls a dark navy blue, and we painted the ceiling a dark navy blue. And in the end, I'm like, I'm going to add some stars to it. We put the stars on the ceiling of the theater, and it really turned out nice. It was kind of nice, especially because it's a below grade space. So it really took off at night when those went on. Number 6 on our list of things you can do for kids' rooms for decorating is wall collages and art collages. And a lot of people these days, not just in kids' rooms, but in hallways and transition spaces, are creating art walls now. And they could be of different subject matters, or they could be family pictures, but very popular to decorate that way. How about you? Do you have sort of a picture wall or an art wall?
Yes. Rather than actually put it into the actual wall itself, I purchased... They're like a frame,
uh-huh,
but the frame has a spring in it, so you can constantly... Lily is an artist, and
uh-huh,
she's very prolific.
Okay.
So I frequently change the artwork.
Oh, nice.
And she also has like it's called Your Own Art Studio. It's for her.
Right.
It has different plastic pockets that you hang on the wall. It's
oh,
very
neat.
Large. And she can frequently, if she likes to, change out her artwork.
So she probably changes it out,
yeah,
frequently.
Yeah, she does. Like every day there's something new, yeah.
You know, there's so many things out there, and frames... I think small picture frames in general, I noticed in my stores, people are putting their pictures on their phone, and they're not developing them as much. But big frames that go on the wall now are more popular than ever, and there's so many beautiful ones. I was at a lady's office yesterday, and she took pictures. She has a Dalmatian, and she bought frames that were oak, but she had painted them matte black, and she had a collage of all these different oak frames painted matte black, very contemporary, with black and white pictures of her Dalmatian. And it was such a good look. Collages very much work that way, and it's as much about the frame as is about the material and creating something. I have been seeing a trend where people are taking sort of a line, if you will, and dropping different size frames on a line, so you're getting different angles, and that's kind of a nice look to do. I saw one that was done that looked like it was a, to hang pictures, it looked like it was a clothesline, and there were clips like a clothesline, and they put the pictures on that way. I also see a lot with younger people where they take family pictures and then they put them, they do them in either sepia tone and black and white, and they put them out there, and they create a look that goes on the wall using one sort of type of frame consistently but different sizes. You said you did the clothesline?
We actually, in the kitchen.
Okay.
She brings home a lot of her projects from school.
Sure.
And I got different color clothespins, and we hung the line, and it's like, it's anchored on two sides by like a heavy wooden star, and
sure,
then the line hangs. It's like a red, and then you just clip it, which is an easy way to change them out, and then
yeah,
you can see them every morning.
And it's creative and it's fun, isn't
yeah
it? Okay, we're about to go to our news, and we'll be back with more of Modern Design after our quick news break.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I think if we continue to create jobs at levels that I'm creating jobs, I think that's going to have a tremendously positive impact on race relations.
President Trump at his rally in Phoenix last night, where he called on the nation to come together in unity and mentioned several programs of the Trump administration aimed at bringing people together in America rather than having them divided by race. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, speaking about North Korea, noted something very important since UN action against that nation.
I think it is worth noting that we have had no missile launches or provocative acts on the part of North Korea since the unanimous adoption of the UN Security Council resolution. And I want to take note of that. I want to acknowledge it.
The commander of the Pacific Fleet, Admiral Scott Swift, says he has dismissed Vice Admiral Joseph Acoin as commander of Navy 7th Fleet. USA Radio News.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. Specifically, in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with 2 pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
New sanctions being leveled against China in connection with North Korea. Here's Bill Zinfer.
The sanctions affect 10 entities and individuals who have alleged business ties to North Korea's missile and nuclear programs. The Chinese embassy in Washington released a statement opposing the sanctions and urged the U.S. government to correct what it called a mistake. If not corrected, the statement says it could affect bilateral cooperation on relevant issues.
ESPN is coming under fire after the network yanked an announcer from calling an upcoming college football game. ESPN announcer Robert Lee, who is Asian American, was originally scheduled to announce the University of Virginia's first football game next week against William & Mary. The network says because of recent violence in Charlottesville, and because Lee shares the same name as Confederate General Robert E. Lee, they decided to switch him to another game because of the name. Democratic Congressman Rick Larson of Washington slammed ESPN, tweeting, "If this isn't the same Lee that led the Confederate Army, ESPN needs to reverse this idiocy." USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
A scary story out of New York as a man told a woman he was going to shove her on the subway tracks, and then he did. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
Police say he shoved a complete stranger, a 49-year-old woman, onto a northbound F track inside the 2nd Avenue station at Houston Street last night.
It's terrifying.
Fortunately, there were no trains approaching, and good Samaritans hoisted the woman to safety. She's in serious but stable condition, cuts to her head, but with the subway pusher at large, riders like Dylan Balfour are taking precautions.
Don't stand too close and always have your eyes to the crowd. Don't turn your back on anybody.
Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
An NFL player being hailed as a hero in the Kansas City area.
A pregnant Lee Summit, Missouri woman has a former Kansas City Chiefs star to thank for her rescue yesterday following the floodwaters from historic rains in the Kansas City area. Neil Smith recorded 592 tackles in his 13-year NFL career, including 104 sacks, but yesterday he talks about the situation he encountered.
When I came out here, this lady, she was driving, and I couldn't believe she was in there. She just got to the point where the car stalled, but she was about like 9 months pregnant. Yeah, and so she's very short, so I had to walk her out of there.
After assisting the lady to safety, Smith had some advice for drivers.
I tell you, do not go around those barricades when you see water. Just stop. Just turn around.
It's unknown if the woman knew her rescuer was a former Kansas City Chiefs star. I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
And we are back with more of Modern Design live in studio. My dear friend Jeannie Johnson is here, and we're talking about kids' rooms. Jeannie, I think we've been talking about doing the show for maybe almost a year, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Jeannie comes from a distance, so she says, "What one day?" You know, Modern Design used to be on at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 11. I'm like, that isn't going to happen.
No.
But now that we're in our new home, physically our new home on 119 Main Street in the large house, my show has been moved to the afternoon, so it made it more feasible to talk about this today. And I know you put a lot of thought into your daughter's room and into kids' rooms, and it's something that's sort of a passion to you. And just as much as Lily is an artist, I think there's a lot of artists in you, too, as far as wanting to do things that have a little bit of visual interest to them. I always think that you're sort of a pastel girl, and if I think of you, I think of the ice cream colors, or maybe like the Easter egg colors as your colors. A lot of
teal.
But also even other colors, sort of those pretty pale sort of Easter egg
kind of
colors are very much your palette. You had on your Facebook page this beautiful cake. It was like an orange dome cake, and it was like a peachy orange pastel color.
Yes.
That was very pretty also.
And very delicious. But yes, I know the color. It's good.
Yeah. I know you're definitely the pastel girl, that's for sure. All right, so we're talking about kids' bedrooms. We talked about collages now. And let's talk about something that I know you're very passionate, and that's themes for kids' bedrooms. I don't know media when it comes to kids or what's in or what's out. What are some of the common themes, or maybe what are some of the themes that your daughter likes? We talked about that before our broadcast today.
Well, she announced one day she's over the princesses.
Princess is too juvenile, right?
Right. So she's like almost a tween. And so she's heading into that realm. So now everything is rainbows.
Okay.
Mermaids, fairies, unicorns, pegasuses, and alicorns, which is...
What's an alicorn?
It's a unicorn with wings.
Never heard of
it. Yeah, so you need to know that, parents.
So are rainbows like back in style? Like when we were kids, people had rainbows, but I think rainbows have like reemerged. And I don't know if there's like a political statement under it, but I see rainbows back very much so.
I think for kids, they're just attracted to the color.
Right.
I think they never go out of style for children.
Right.
You know, and we are very big on nature. So my family, we hike a lot, so we see a lot of rainbows and things like that. So Lily's very, very attracted to those.
What's the unicorn thing? Because I see that as a popular trend also.
I think it's something girls... I went through it too when I was around her age.
Okay. Sort of a... just.
I still like them, actually.
Because it's mythical, or...?
I think so. I think there's some, like, you know, when it ties in with fairies, they're very into fairies and... Mm-hmm. All those types of things.
What are some other rooms? Like, I don't know, like, what they watch on television or kids that age. I do a lot for boys. I do a lot of sports themes rooms, baseball in particular. Baseball themes a lot. Or military. Like, we do a lot of, like, camouflage. I do a lot of camouflage bedding in, like, blues or in greens. And that's kind of a cool kind of a look. Maybe, you know, I did one room that was sort of fishing, and we did all fish, and that was kind of fun. But in general, I don't really know sort of in that range, the tween range, what they're interested in. Like, what are their shows? Like, I know who SpongeBob is, but nobody's putting SpongeBob rooms up. So what are they, is there something out there?
Honestly, at this point, it's mostly like shows, not so many cartoons.
Okay.
I know she really is into The Descendants right now.
Okay.
So that's actual, like, you know... kids,
right,
like real characters.
Yeah.
So she's very into all of that.
I know she's probably beyond it in years, but we had on a couple of months ago the area manager of Ethan Allen, and Ethan Allen made a commitment to Disney and created a line of bedrooms, furniture, and accessories just for kids. What about that? Is that something that's...
She would have loved that. Like,
really?
About three.
Right.
About a couple years
but that,
ago.
But that range is really the younger child.
It is,
imagine.
Yeah. By the time she was seven, I think she still likes some of the... But it's not the same as it was.
Right. So in a perfect world, if we gave her a room that was sort of a cool lavender with rainbows and unicorns. You know what? You think about it, it almost sounds like the 1970s, doesn't it?
A little bit. She never leaves.
I know. It's sort of retro, and I see a lot of retro returning. Yeah. One of the things that we also wanted to talk about, was a little off the list here, but I'll go down a little bit, is that you wanted to talk about situations with beds. I'll follow up with the ones before it, but you wanted to talk to me about beds in kids' rooms. Now, before you do, I want to talk about something that I've learned, because I do a lot of nurseries, because most people come to me. I don't know why they do this all at the same time, but in my Maplewood store, a lot of people are Brooklynites, and that is they're born in the Midwest. They're not born in Brooklyn. They're born in the Midwest, and then they get jobs in New York after graduation. They come to New York because Manhattan is so expensive to live. They go out to Brooklyn, which is also very expensive to live, but not quite as expensive. And they live in Brooklyn in their loft, and they have their years together. And then they get pregnant, and they say, uh-oh, we have to have a house with a yard. So often they move to Maplewood, and a lot of the homes in Maplewood have young couples having their first child, and they move so they can have a yard, and they're about a half an hour from the city for work. So those kids, those young people, when they're moving in and they're having their first kid, I'm often doing a baby room before the baby comes, and we don't know the sex of the baby. But what I've been doing a lot with them is the transition bed. And I don't know if you know about the transition bed. Pottery Barn Kids sells it a lot. That is a crib that transitions to a kid bed, and then eventually the headboard of an actual bed that could take them through when they leave the house. And I thought that was a great option. So we've been doing a lot of transition beds, and I wonder what your thoughts on that.
Well, to be honest with you, she does have that.
Oh, she does?
Yes. However, mm-hmm. She doesn't like it. So
why is that?
She wants a bunk bed, and I have to, you know, the room is not, it's a nice size, it's not huge, without
right.
it looking cluttered.
Right.
So we came up with the idea of the bunk bed where she sleeps on the top,
right.
and then underneath she would have her desk area.
Right.
But right now it's just the bed, so there's not a lot of room for other things.
When we were talking about when my interns were here and they were talking about their dorm rooms, what they do is they build up their beds so they could have a desk underneath,
right.
and it was
exactly.
the same sort of principle with that. So, does she have any trepidation about sleeping so high up?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
So she seems all right with it.
So then, you know, you're pretty far off the ground when you do that. To be comfortable with her, that you'd have her that high up with a desk underneath.
Yeah, but the way that the beds are, they usually have
the rail
high on the side, and I think it should be.
So
fine.
You think that's something that you're going to go to her with that eventually?
I see it going that way because mm-hmm. It's been going on for a while now, so she hasn't changed her mind.
I was in a house one where they put a curtain in front of it, so the
yes.
bottom was open, and they put a curtain there. It's also a great place for a lot of storage too.
Or a book nook, like a little reading nook. We talked about that too.
Definitely. So that's underneath. Would you ever want to put another bed in there? So if you have company or so on, that you could, like Lily would probably love that if she had the top bunk and there was another bunk underneath.
I thought about doing that because a lot of times she wants us to hang out in there and stuff. So I thought about, before we decide on the desk, doing the regular bunk on the top
and bunk.
Underneath having like a full size
right.
mattress and underneath bunk
right,
in case
right.
we do have a guest, but we have a guest room, so we don't really have to worry about putting anyone in her
room. No, I guess. And then if she has people stay over. Now, another thing that I'm working on right now is, and we decided not to do it because there really wasn't a lot of floor space in this house, is to do a trundle bed. And I see a lot of that. And a trundle is where they have a second mattress come out that's lower on the floor. So if you have people that stay over, it is a popular thing to do. I'm not in love with the trundle bed. I think it's an opportunity to have problems and so on,
that's
but very popular right now. But bunk beds, since I was a kid, I always wanted a bunk bed. The thought of being up higher in the air is kind of exciting, you know, whether it steps up and you have either a desk or a nook or a little clubhouse or a fort or whatever below, or just frankly, you could decide where you want to sleep, on the top or on the bottom. It is kind of exciting. Let's talk about number 11, which is storage. And I'm wondering, in Lily's room, how you handle storage. Because it's always, always, always a problem in every room I've ever been in where kids need more storage.
Well, it's a lot of those drawers, you know, the plasticky ones that in different colors.
Right, that are sort of semi-transparent,
yes,
but they're colored.
Right, on the sides. Uh-huh. And then you could put the wheels on or not to move them around. And they're great for craft stuff.
Right.
We keep a lot of her craft stuff in there.
And they're great to even, they're easy to clean, those things.
Yes.
Right.
I like them. And then just regular, like a shelf. We have like a bookshelf with those baskets that you can slide in and out.
Now, is there a built-in closet in that room?
Yes, there is.
And the closet is just for clothes, so we don't put crafts or anything else in there?
No.
So crafts are out, but they're in beautiful boxes that are...
Right. It's where you would have access. Like, she's sitting at her desk doing a craft, so she can just go to the drawer. It's right there, pull it out, and get out.
And because it's semi-transparent, she knows what's in each drawer.
Right.
Right. Do you like basket drawers? See, I think people always say to me, I want to do basket drawers. I think they're hard to maneuver.
I don't think... there's that, too. I'm not crazy about that. But the ones that I've been... because I've used them for years for myself, and I like them. And they're not expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things sound wonderful, but they're very expensive.
Sure.
So if you're on, like, a budget, you kind of have to be a little practical.
Yeah, but I like the I guess they're acrylic, but in the colors because it adds... and you can do different colors. Did you do all the same color or different colors?
It's mostly white and, like, a bright... she likes that pink, that bright pink.
Let's talk about closets themselves. Is it a single closet or a double closet?
I want to say it's like a double. You open the door,
oh, it's big.
And there's like a little space on the side. It's not walk-in, but there's like a top shelf and then a bottom rung. So that's kind of nice.
So are most of her clothes hung up?
It depends. She has her better clothes I hang up. You know.
Right. What about jeans and stuff? Do they go in drawers or do you hang them up?
No. She has a lot of shirts and pants. I put those in the drawers.
Now, I was at a house recently because kids' clothes are usually smaller.
Right.
We added a second rack, so we were able to make work for them, two racks, a top rack and a bottom rack, and make that work so we got more hanging space. And in this case, because there was not a lot of space... We were able to get the jeans and the shirts on a lower rack that she could just pick off. And the dresses and the more formal stuff that she doesn't wear all the time were on the top rack. And that worked in that case.
Or you could do what I've done.
Okay.
And I bought one of those safe spacers on a hanger.
Now, what is that?
It, and it's like a canvas shelf.
Okay.
And you hang it on the top rung.
Sure.
And there's different, like, pockets.
Okay.
So it's like a shelf. I can't explain. I know
like a pocket shelf.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what I've done. I do
and
that, too.
And it helps with that. What about shoes? Because I think the thing with kids' rooms that get the most messed up is the shoes. Do you have a suggestion for shoes in a closet?
Because no shoes in the bedrooms. My rule is when people come in at the top of the stairs, there's a shoe rack.
Okay.
And they take their shoes off, and that's where people go for their shoes.
Wow. So she's looking for a dressy pair of shoes because you're going somewhere, she goes downstairs?
No, it's in the room. Is you come up to the main level,
sure,
and everything is like the living area and the kitchen, and then the bedrooms are on the same level.
Right.
So it's at the top of the stairs, take off your shoes in the shoe rack.
Wow,
and
no
then
shoes
your
in
bedrooms
the bedroom.
Are down the hall.
They say that's very healthy because you pick up so much bacteria on the street from shoes.
My husband makes fun of me, but I mean, I know that's just my thing. I don't like shoes in the house.
No, I absolutely think
I grew
that's
up like
idea.
That, though.
Right. No, I think that's a great thing.
You couldn't
thing.
Walk in the house until you took off your shoes. So.
Exactly. One of the things that I do a lot in kids' rooms is create sort of interest and whimsy. A lot of times bedrooms, kids' bedrooms, are not that interesting. They're sort of an uninteresting rectangle with one or two windows, and you have to create some drama. And often the way you can do that is using wainscoting and molding. A look that I like a lot and did often for boys in particular is wainscoting. And wainscoting are those panels of molding that we put up. And I would take them off and paint them white and take them three quarters of the way up and then put a shelf up. So if a boy or a girl collected something, whether it be maybe race cars or some sort of objects, there was a shelf to display them in a way that looked great but wasn't cluttered. So we could also add a saturated color. So if you went three-quarters of... let's look at this room, Jenny. If you went three-quarters of the way up and you did wainscoting and you ended it with a shelf that went all around the room, you could display whatever they're working on. And that could be art. That could be personal pictures. That could be toys. And that was something with wainscoting that worked out very well. Also, wainscoting is good when you want to do a very dark, saturated color, like the people in Springfield. The boy wanted navy blue. The other kids, one wanted a pale green, of course, and one wanted gray, and they worked out well because they were light colors. But the boy that wanted navy blue, that small room with the one window with the navy blue would have just been too dark. But by able to add an inexpensive chair rail and some panels of wainscoting, we could make the navy work all the way around and tie into the orange window treatments because you're using wainscoting. Molding can always be used to dress up a room. So maybe a ceiling, maybe we create a look, something interesting. I did a diamond shape on a ceiling for somebody, and even though the walls were gray, we painted a really cool color in the ceiling diamond. We could do shapes. I did one wall in a bedroom that I did for a kid. We made his headboard wall a grid, sort of like tic-tac-toe, if you will, but in flat panels, and painted that out white and then painted a color behind it. And that was another way to do it. Those are inexpensive projects that you can do. And as often as your math is right, because no rooms are plumb and level, you can really make the space work very well. Ceilings, again, are very popular to do treatments on because they're out of the way. We talked about doing stars on a ceiling. Have you ever painted clouds on the ceiling? I remember the movie Kramer versus Kramer. It always comes to mind with the clouds on the ceiling. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. And I always liked it. It seemed very comforting. But our it's very strange because our ceiling is like tile.
Okay.
I can't explain it.
Right.
And we also have ceiling fans, so
right.
It takes away
takes
from
away
that.
From that space. So if you have a flat ceiling, which not everybody does, painting on the ceiling is kind of interesting and something that you can do, and always cover up with white afterwards. But it's a little easier. That surface, because it doesn't get touched, can stay pristine for a long time. You just don't want to make those too juvenile. I did have my decorative artist do a project for me once, and it was beautiful trees, and the trees didn't end where the ceiling went, where the wall went to the ceiling. The trees went up the sides of the ceiling and went around and had sort of dangling branches, and that was probably one of the most beautiful ones that we ever did. That the leaves went up onto the ceiling. Stars, we talked about either painting stars on the ceiling or do stars as stickers. Mirrors, let's talk about mirrors. This week I'm working on a project where it's an old house that was built in the 1920s, and it has the original doors, and in the insets of the back of the doors, I'm going to put a mirror within the inset so that you have a dressing mirror that will go down and show shoes. What do you have for a mirror when Lily gets dressed?
Believe it or not, in our bedroom, the closet doors are mirror. It's a full
length mirror. The whole door is already mirror.
Yes.
So you don't have an issue with that. So dressing mirrors are important, both either a freestanding mirror or if you have mirrored doors, that's always a good thing. But you really want, before you leave the house, you want a head to toe where you can take a look at your socks, your shoes, and everything. Very important. Lighting is critical in a room. And the one thing I think is lacking mostly, actually today while we're doing modern design, my electrician is putting recessed lights in a girl's bedroom in Maplewood because she just didn't have enough task lighting. And now that she's getting older with homework, you need more task lighting. And you need levels of lighting in the space. Like this room in here, which was originally a kid's bedroom, there's one center light as I grew up with myself. But when you do homework, when you're working on projects, when you're doing crafts, we often need more task lights than we ever have. So cans or recessed lights, which can be put on dimmers, are often an inexpensive way to add light to the space. Of course, you want functional light desks like lamps that can be focused and shaped over it. One of the new trends that is particularly in girls' rooms I'm seeing, when there's not a lot of floor space, is next to the bed, over each side, they're dropping feminine-looking lights. I'm forgetting the name of what they're called now. The
stained glass?
No. Well, they could be stained glass, but the pendant lights, I'm sorry, the pendant lights over either side where either there might be an end table there or not over either side of the bed to give it sort of a boutique-style look, and that's something that's coming into style. But also arms, or like a reading arm, so maybe there's not a lot of floor space and you get the armed lights on each end so you can read at night. But lighting is very critical. Do you find that you have enough light in that space?
There's a floor lamp. There's the overhead fan has a fixture. And then there's a little lamp on the wall, like similar to what you were describing. It's got a stained glass. That's why it made me think of it. So, but it's more like pretty lighting, but it's
right.
Still very nice, very decorative.
Jeannie, believe it or not, we are at the end of the hour. It went so quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Jeannie's like, thank God it's over. Anyway, there's no booze in studio, so I guess we'll go out after this. It was wonderful having you on. I think we learned a lot about kids' rooms, and I'm glad to have you as a guest. We're going to have wonderful shows upcoming. We are going to be going to YouTube, so pretty soon you'll start to see us on Modern Design. I'm going to have some new interns with us this year from the local high school here. A lot of new things happening with Modern Design. As always, thank you for listening to our show. You can listen every Wednesday live from 2 to 3 or in the podcast anytime. We'll see you next week, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I think if we continue to create jobs at levels that I'm creating jobs, I think that's going to have a tremendously positive impact on race relations.
President Trump at his rally in Phoenix last night, where he called on the nation to come together in unity and mentioned several programs of the Trump administration aimed at bringing people together in America rather than having them divided by race. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, speaking about North Korea, noted something very important since UN action against that nation.
I think it is worth noting that we have had no missile launches or provocative acts on the part of North Korea since the unanimous adoption of the UN Security Council resolution. And I want to take note of that. I want to acknowledge it.
The commander of the Pacific Fleet, Admiral Scott Swift, says he has dismissed Vice Admiral Joseph Acoin as commander of Navy's 7th Fleet. USA Radio News.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dog.